Welcome to the Mom's Day Bunker with Carrie Henson. In the bunker, you will find joy, grief, laughter, and remembrance. It is a safe place for moms to gather during the storms of motherhood, to share stories and to encourage each other as we navigate doomsday moments that change the trajectory of our path as women. Our stories contain difficult subjects that may be triggering for some listeners. These are real stories from real moms that are surviving, have survived, and are thriving after the unthinkable happened. Please take care of your mama heart as we cozy up together, take shelter from the world, and begin. Hey guys, welcome back. I'm Carrie Henson, and this is the Mom's Day Bunker, and it is such a thrill to have you here. It is such a thrill to be doing this very, very hard thing called podcasting. I didn't realize it was going to be hard. You know, I thought it was going to be like when I worked at the radio station, and I just kind of walked in, talked on the microphone, you know, looked cute, sipped my tea, and that was it. No, this is much harder. This has been really challenging for me, but I love it and I'm excited. And I'll tell you a secret. There's like, so this platform that I use for the podcast will show me statistics. Like it'll show me data, right? Like who is, well, not who, but how many people are downloading the episodes and where they are. So it'll show me like where in the United States or where in the world people are finding the Mom's Day Bunker. And every day I check it and I'm like, oh, is the number going to go up? And it does. It does. Like some days it's like one more person in middle of nowhere, Idaho is listening to the Mom's Day Bunker. And I get so excited. I pee a little bit. Like I'm so excited. I'm like one of those little dogs that gets so excited. They pee everywhere. That's me. I do. I get so excited. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Someone in the UK is listening to me right now. Someone in Italy is listening right now, and it is so cool to me and very mysterious. Like, I don't know how it works, but it is so cool. It gives me such a thrill. I don't know the mysteries of it. Like, I know it has something to do with follows and likes and downloads and shares, and there's like these algorithms, and I'm sitting here going, I don't know, man, whatever. What's going to happen is going to happen. That's always been kind of my goal going into this is if I can just reach one mom that needs to hear she's not alone, I'm good. But I'm almost up to 1,000 downloads. My mind is blown. I'm like, what is happening in this world right now? Like, what is happening in my little universe? Because honest to God, I thought it was going to be like 10 people listening to this, which are like five of my best friends and my mom and maybe a neighbor. Like, that was all I could hope for. But it's not, it's like more people. I'm almost there to 1,000 people. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing this. Thank you for going on this journey with me. You know, I'm in the infancy stage. I'm really an infant. I'm an infant podcaster. I'm learning quickly, you know, but I'm still learning. And I had this like breakdown, I don't know, when it was a couple months ago, and I recorded it and I put it on Facebook and I'm like crying and I'm all ugly cry because who cries pretty, right? But I'm like ugly cry and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing and am I going to honor these moms? And I was like freaking out and I got so much encouragement. People were texting me, people were commenting, they were saying, just do it, just do it. And I had a God wink that day. This little moment of the lies that go in your head. You know, you have these lies that you tell yourself, like, I'm not good enough. Why am I wasting my time? You know, what's the purpose of this? And those lies were just spinning in my head that day. And someone or somewhere, I wish I could remember the details, but someone or somewhere had mentioned Isaiah 41:10. And it took my breath away because that was the verse that we really prayed to, like we meditated on this verse for Super G during cancer, which is my first Mom's Day moment. And it was like a God wink. It's like God was winking at me saying, girl, you need to chill out. You are doing exactly what I need you to do right now. So calm down. And I took a breath and I cried some more and I moved forward. And it seems to be working out. It seems to be, I mean, you guys are helping me build this from the ground up. And I just get a thrill. I get a thrill. I'm like, there's 3 people in New York right now. Hello, New York. You know, like who do I know in New York? I don't know anybody in New York, but it's so cool. It's so cool to me. So if you have people in other states and countries and you want to know that at any given time, you're going to make a middle-aged woman who's had 6 kids pee, which is not very hard. All I have to do is sneeze and I pee a little. All I have to do is laugh and I pee a little. It would give me a thrill. It really would. And it would give me a lot of encouragement that what I'm doing is important and I need to keep going. So thank you. Thank you for that. I do want to say, before I get into my story, I have been asked to give a couple of talks, like speaking engagements. And some of these talks are not in the Houston area, which is where I live. Some of them are out of Houston and some of them are out of state. I can do it. Like, we'll figure it out. We can Zoom it. We can remote record it. Like, we can do it. And if you're in if you're in Texas, Louisiana, like, I will travel. I love telling my story. And I'm much better in a live audience than I am behind a microphone because I get to interact and be silly and be a comedian and all the things. So if you are interested, please reach out to me. You can go to my website at momsdayprepper.com and you can email me there. And I will, I'll respond as quick as I can and we'll get it set up. We can get this set up. I love talking to people. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram. I think it's Carrie Momsday Prepper on Facebook and it's Carrie_Henson_Momsday Prepper. It's one of those things, but it's public, which is really scary. I did not think I would ever do that. I've always been private settings, but through all these moments, I've realized, man, community is everything. And there's probably going to be some jerk faces out there that I'm going to have to block. But you know what? There were jerk faces on my private settings too. I mean, if you have a private setting on your social and you've ever gotten a negative comment or a negative DM, it's even worse because you know those people and they're being jerk faces to you, right? So anyways, long story short, thank you. It's been awesome. It's been really, really awesome. I want to tell you the story about the first time I saw the ocean. Now, when I was growing up, we didn't go anywhere. We didn't do family vacations. We never did the Disney World thing. We didn't go anywhere. My parents worked. They owned their own businesses and they just worked a lot. And then I had older siblings that were teenagers when I was born. And so there was just a lot going on. We just weren't the family that traveled. But one spring break, my dad had moved to Houston from where we grew up, which was out in a small West Texas community. And for work, he came down here for work. And so during spring break, my mom and I drove to Houston to spend the week with him. They decided to take me to Galveston. Now, Galveston is a cool city. It is an old city with a lot of culture and rich history. And there's a lot of homes that are still up. They survived the hurricane of 1900, which was a devastating hurricane. And so, we went down to Galveston and I was 11 years old and it was the first time I saw the ocean. I was so excited. I was so excited. First of all, I had never seen skyscrapers before. I've never seen the big buildings and you have to drive downtown. Like you have to go through downtown Houston. This is the shortest route from where we were to get there. So I saw these big buildings in this big city and then we get to Galveston and we go up over the hill. Like there's this little hill where the water wall is and you see the ocean. And it was the most magnificent thing I had ever seen in my life. And if you are from Houston and you've been to Galveston and you've gone over that hill and you see this vast, like incredible body of water, You are laughing that I said it's the most incredible thing I have ever seen because it is not pretty ocean water. Galveston is pretty and the beaches are pretty because they work really hard. But the Mississippi River, like, you know, starts to come down and it takes all this silt and dirt and it kind of flows towards us. So the water is not usually crystal blue Caribbean water like you would, you know, you want to see a blue ocean, like these beautiful waters. It's kind of muddy. It's just muddy water. But to my 11-year-old self, who had not traveled to the Caribbean yet, who had not seen the Pacific Ocean at Costa Rica, who had not been to Florida, who had not seen the Atlantic, that was the most amazing, incredible sight I had ever seen. And after we parked and we got to where we were going, and I walked out and I saw these waves just coming and crashing and coming and crashing, and the sound of it and the beauty of it and the vastness of it. Like, it was so vast. I just stood in awe. And I grew up in the middle of nowhere country, Texas. And I walked around on this huge piece of property, this ranch, by myself. I mean, I'm walking amongst the rattlesnakes and the armadillos and the skunks, barefoot most of the time. And I had never seen or felt, I'd never seen anything so big or felt so small. In that moment, it was just incredible. And, you know, you're a kid, so what do? What's the first thing you do? You get to the ocean. Man, you run right into it, don't you? And it was cold. I remember it was so cold. And I ran right into that ocean till about, it got up to my knees. And then I kind of got a little scared. I was like, well, wait a minute. What's in this ocean? Because I can't see the bottom. And the waves are big in Galveston. They can get very, very big in Galveston. Like, it's a pretty good undertow out there sometimes. And so so my dad held my hand and walked me out. I was like a little scared. It was unfamiliar. It was something I never experienced before. And we're jumping the waves as you do, and we're kind of having fun. And all of a sudden, my very first time, guys, to go to the ocean, and I'm in it, like I'm out there to my chest and we're jumping the waves and my dad's right there. I feel this like slimy thing kind of graze my arm and my stomach, and it looks like a plastic grocery bag, like a white grocery bag. And then it starts stinging the ever-loving crap out of me and smart me because, again, I pick it up trying to figure out why the thing is hurting me so bad, and I start screaming, which scares the heck out of my dad because he's probably thought, oh no, it's a shark. You know, I don't know what he was thinking, but he started running. I started running, like running in the ocean, which is hard, but I was like getting out of there as fast as I could, screaming and crying. So he's running as fast as he could, yelling at me, what is it? What is it? It was a jellyfish, of course. So that, you know, the first time I went to the ocean, I got stung by a jellyfish. And you know what? And then it didn't stop me. Like, I went back in after we treated it. Thank goodness they had a first aid station there at that beach. And they treated it. And I went back in. Because there's an energy to the ocean, isn't there? I mean, isn't there this amazing energy? These positive ions that pull you into it, even though it's very big and it can be very scary, and there's all these like creatures and unknowns about the ocean. There's something about that fresh, salty air that opens your lungs and it provides this oxygen to your brain. And they're so powerful, aren't they? Aren't oceans so powerful? They produce these waves that are so powerful, and storms, you know, these storms that come in. In 2017, we had a huge storm down here in the Houston area, the whole coast of Texas, really. And it was called Hurricane Harvey. It was unprecedented. And they didn't predict what was going to happen. It kind of had a mind of its own. It just sat on top of Houston and swirled and swirled and just hung out. It was taking its time. It was like, you know, what more can I mess up? And it dumped like 52 inches, 51 inches, 52 inches on us very quickly. And it flooded us, you guys. It flooded Houston. It looked like a war zone down here. If you've ever witnessed a natural disaster, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it was a war zone. I mean, people's belongings were just thrown in their front yard, mattresses, dressers, just piles of clothes, trash bags, drywall. People were mucking out their house. And it was just a war zone. And unfortunately, we got hit by that storm. Our home sustained significant damage. We lost the entire first floor of our house. Everything that we couldn't put upstairs was gone. And guys, it happens so fast. We had 45 minutes to figure out what we were going to save and what we were going to let go of. We had 45 minutes. That's it. We live in an area of Houston that never floods. We lived in a neighborhood that had never flooded. And it was just powerful. Water is a powerful entity. It really is. And I lost everything. We lost everything. I was 37 weeks pregnant with my sixth child. We had already gone through childhood cancer. I had almost lost my dad to medical negligence, who also had cancer. And that's a whole other story. That's a whole other podcast. But that was like a mini Mom's Day moment. Like, we have these Mom's Day moments that are just incredible, powerful, like the ocean. But then we have mini Mom's Day moments, you know, like the little mini M&Ms. They just kind of sprinkle through your life. And you're probably already thinking of about three off the top of your head that's happened to you. These little mini Mom's Day moments. I had lost the crib. I lost diapers. I lost clothes. I lost baby blankets. I lost the saucer, the swing, the toy. Everything was gone. Everything that I had been collecting as a mom through five other babies. We get to the sixth one and I lost everything. I was just out there in the middle of the storm after enduring childhood cancer storm, my dad's health storm, and here I was in another storm. And I needed a life preserver, man. Like, I thought, what? This is ridiculous. I had all the kids upstairs, the dogs upstairs. I'm 37 weeks pregnant. And I couldn't flush the toilet because toilets don't work when the neighborhood is drowning and you're pregnant. So it was like, oh, great. How am I going to pee? I've got a baby on my bladder. You see your couch floating in the living room. You're looking on social media. You have no idea if the electricity is going to go out or will go out or won't go out. You know, it was insane. This is the part of the story that I get excited about because I was already a prepper. I did not know I was a prepper. This is before I watched the Doomsday Prepper show and got into the prepper community and started just investigating it. But I was already a prepper. Like, once we knew the water was going to come into our house, I started preparing backpacks for the kids and I started preparing the dogs. I started getting things ready. And one of the things I got ready is we got the life jackets out. We're avid water people and we're in lakes and rivers and, you know, all the things here in Texas. Texas has beautiful water spots. And so I had life jackets ready to go to put life jackets on these babies. Like, I was prepared in a very short amount of time. I knew exactly where everything was I needed. I got it together. So the next day, when the water was already in our house, like 2 feet of it at least, we had to be rescued. We had to have someone come rescue us in a boat in the living room, pretty much. And it was kind of cool. I mean, it was exciting. It was kind of cool. Like, here we are, we're getting rescued and we're all trying to laugh about it and make light of it for the kids because, you know, the kids were kind of scared a little bit. And we got in this boat with our children and our dogs and our backpacks and we got to dry land. We could not have gotten out of that house without a boat. And life jackets were essential. They really were. They were essential to these non-swimmers that I had. They were essential to the adults. We needed that life preserver. And we needed the boat. That was the only way we were getting out. Otherwise, we were going to be stuck upstairs with two dogs that desperately needed to go to the bathroom, with a very pregnant woman who desperately needed to go to the bathroom. And no, you know, we had snacks and stuff we stashed up there, but we're not eating. Right? We had plenty of water up there. Like, we had to get out. We had to move. And we were very lucky. We were very lucky that we had some good people come and rescue us. And then the real work started, really. By the grace of God, we found a place to live 1 week before my baby was born. Now, keep in mind, we lost everything. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a car seat. I didn't have a crib. I didn't have clothes. I didn't have baby blankets. I had nothing. Zero zilch. I had 1 week. Now, I didn't know I had 1 week. I was holding her in as long as I could. I was like, please, baby, please be a late baby. And I have big babies, y'all. She was almost 10 pounds. Like, I have big babies. But I was like, no, 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 you can't come yet. I'm not ready for you to come. There are these incredible women in my life that were throwing me life preservers. They were saying, don't worry about it. We are going to buy you that car seat. We're going to give you gift cards. We are going to make sure you're on a meal train. We got the meals set up. You're covered. We've got diapers. We've got clothes. We've got blankets. Don't worry. We will provide for your baby. We will provide for you. We are going to throw you a life preserver for your motherhood. That is community. That is community. Those are the people you want in your life, right? You need those people. And I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about people in all of my Mom's Day moments, these big T traumas, these crises. I know I've learned a lot about people. And here's the most important lesson I've learned. Through these journeys, people don't want to participate in your crisis unless there is a message of hope in it. They want to be encouraged by your pitfall. They want to be lifted up by your pain. And they want to view the show from far away. And that's a hard pill to swallow. That's a hard pill to swallow because you're in the thick of it. Your home has been destroyed. Your home may be being destroyed right now. And it may not be a flood. It may be something very different, but your home is being destroyed. And unless there's a message of hope in it, people don't want to know. They don't want to see the ugly. They don't want to see the ugly. It was real ugly after Hurricane Harvey. Y'all, it was ugly in Houston for 3 to 4 months. Some people, it took 8 months to get all the stuff out of their front yard. When I say it was in a war zone, it was a war zone down here. And anyone who lives on the Gulf Coast, up the Atlantic. You know what I'm talking about. And in California, there's so much flooding. Water is so destructive. It is so destructive. And it's a war zone. And people don't want to see the ugly. They don't want pictures. Watch the news next time there's a hurricane that hits. Watch closely what they film. They're not going to film the mountains of mattresses and trash and clothes that are in people's front yards, the sheetrock and all the stuff they're having to muck out, the sinks, the toilets. They're not going to show that because people don't want to see the ugly. They only want to see the hope. But here's the thing, you guys. Here's the thing, y'all. Sometimes you have to sit in the ugly. Because this is life. It gets ugly sometimes. And you've got to sit in it and you've got to sit through it and you've got to surround your people who will be there for you, throwing you life preservers. will say, hey, I've got you. I'm not judging you. I've got you. Okay, I've got you. I'm going to sit in this pain with you. I'm going to hold your hand while you walk through it. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to turn away from you. I'm not going to turn away from you. I'm just going to let you feel all the feelings. Feel the feelings. I'm going to throw you a life preserver. When you start to drown, I'm going to throw you a life preserver. Those are the people you need. Those are the people you want. And I have a lot of people in my life that are, I'm so lucky to have the most incredible group of friends. I'm so lucky. I want to win the lottery just so I can give it to my people, to my friends, and say, here, thank you for holding me up. Thank you for throwing life preservers my way all these years. Thank you for never leaving me, even when it got real ugly. Here's $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. I could not win a big enough lottery pot to show my gratitude to these people. I mean, really sitting there through it with you. And I hope you have someone. I hope you have that person. I really do. I want you to have that person. And if you don't have that person, you have this community. You have the Moms Day Bunker community. You do. Man, there was this one mom when G got diagnosed who emailed me. She DM'd me, I guess. That's what the youngins call it these days, DM, the slide into my DM, which I think means something very different than what I think it means. But she DM'd me and she said, hey, I just want you to know that my son had neuroblastoma and he passed away. But if you need to talk or you want to talk or if you feel comfortable talking, I'm here for you. And she just left the door open. She left the door open. She threw me a life preserver. Now, we had a lot of people help us. We had a lot of people support us. We had a lot of people hold our hands through that journey of childhood cancer. But she's the one that threw the life preserver because I held on to it. And I said, oh my God, I am not alone. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I am not alone. Someone else knows what I'm going through, what I might go through, what I will go through, what, you know, she's there, like she knows. And she threw me that life preserver. And when Hurricane Harvey came, she threw me another life preserver. When my dad was sick and almost died in the hospital because of medical negligence, she's the one that brought me meals. She kept throwing me these life preservers in her own grief, in her own pain. She did this for me when I was a complete stranger. We're friends now, of course, but I was a complete stranger in the beginning. And when my husband was very ill, she threw me a life preserver. I told very few people what was going on in our life, very few. And she was one of them, and she threw me a life preserver. And when my son got hit by that car, and it's still real fresh for me because it just happened a year ago, I was angry. I was in disbelief. I was completely disassociated. And I showed a lot of ugly. And I did not care. I did not give two shits that I put ugly into the world because ugly landed in my lap for four damn times. Four times. I didn't care. I said, fine, you know what? I'm going to put ugly. And you know what? I learned that lesson. People don't want the ugly. They don't want to participate in your crisis if there's not a message of hope in it. Here is your message of hope. There's going to be someone in your life that throws you a life preserver. And this friend threw me a life preserver. And she said, you are angry and you should be. And I'm here for you. Because when you get through it, you will see the beauty in the ashes. When you get through this and your son heals, you will see the beauty in the ashes. And she stayed with me and she has thrown me so many life preservers that I have built a boat of life preservers. And I have this boat that I can float on and I can get through that powerful ocean I can get through it. I'm going to float. I'm going to move on. I'm going to survive. I know I can because I have these incredible people in my life that do not care if I am beautiful or I am ugly. They see my soul and they let me be, they just let me sit in the pain. And I'm so grateful for her. And I'm so grateful for my best friends who stepped up and many, many others. Because the people you think should stay in your life when things get hard, man, they're the first ones to bail, aren't they? Those family members, those in-laws, those neighbors. They go, oh, bye. We'll see you when you're a pretty little Christian again. Not this ugly Christian, but the pretty one. But this friend who threw me a life preserver as a stranger said, when you get through it, you will see the beauty in the ashes. Her name is Marden, and she is the most incredible human I've ever met. She's so smart. She's kind. She has 6 children. She's got grandchildren. And her son's name was Jake. Dino Jake. Because if you're a kid and you have cancer, you have to have a motto. All the cancer kids have mottos. And his was, man, his is probably one of the best I've ever come across. Like ours was Super G, you know, woohoo, Superman, whatever. And I loved it. I love Super G. But hers was Dino Jake, making cancer extinct. Man, is that a slogan or what? It's like the best motto ever. Dino Jake. And she talks to us about her experience. And we put on our tinfoil hats at one point. And we cry and we laugh and it's a hard conversation. And I'll tell you what, she's the first mom that I recorded. I had this idea. I had been writing a book for a while, but I had this idea for a podcast because I knew I wasn't the only mom out there, right? Surely I'm not the only mom. If there's at least close to 1,000 of y'all listening, I am not the only mom out there that is going through the muck of life. And she, at that point, was the only mom I knew had gone through a Mom's Day moment. And this Mom's Day moment thing just kept coming in my head and coming in my heart and coming into my imagination. So I call her up and I say, Marden, can I come see you? I have this crazy idea. And I walk into her office and y'all, I'm shaking. Like, I'm nervous. I'm shaking. I'm nervous. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can get through this. And I say, look, I have this weird idea. I'm going to do a podcast. And I want to know if you would be willing to be my first guest. And without hesitation, she said, yes. Yes, I'd love to. Of course, let's do it. That is a person. She helped me build my ladder. Do you know who Trevor Noah is? He was a host of The Daily Show. And then, you know, he did that for a couple of years. And now he has a podcast. And he had Dwayne The Rock Johnson on his podcast. And that's kind of how I heard this story, because I like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I like him because when a cancer kid reaches out to him, he doesn't hesitate. He says, yeah, man, I'm gonna send you a message. And I love celebrities that do that. I love celebrities that do that because you really have no idea how important that is to the kid and to the parents. It gives them so much encouragement. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson was on his podcast. And at the end of the podcast, Trevor Noah said, hey, I get why you and Kevin Hart are friends. Because when I started The Daily Show, I didn't know if I was going to get any celebrities on. I didn't know how to go about doing it. I just wanted to do the show. And I called Kevin Hart and he said, yeah, man, of course, I'll do it. Everyone needs help building their ladder. You can't climb the ladder if it's not built. And Trevor Noah said, so thank you, Dwayne Johnson, because you're my first guest on the podcast and you're helping me build my ladder. Marden is helping me build my ladder. Marden helped me build this ladder. She helped me build this ladder, and Camille and Niambi and Petra and all the women, all the women that have stepped up, and Amy C and Amy P, and there's more to come. There's so many more women that you haven't even met yet that are building this ladder in our community to help us climb this ladder to success, to survival, to hope, to encouragement, to build a community, to prep spiritually, to prep our healing, to support each other in finances, because finances can be just tricky. You're helping me build my ladder right now. Every time you share, you like, you follow, you're building a ladder for a community of moms that may not have anyone else. Because this podcast is their life preserver. Because when I feel like I'm going to drown, I have a whole boat of life preservers in my life. And you are helping build a ladder for those moms that might not have that. So thank you. Next week, you will hear Marden's story. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I did recording it. Until next time, stay safe.